We invite you this morning to take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, where we begin our reading. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We want to concentrate this morning on verse 3. The words, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? However, this warning, the first in the great epistle to the Hebrews, is in relationship to the first two verses that we read and the message of chapter 1 of Hebrews, where the Lord Jesus is introduced as a superb person of the universe. Now let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the riches of grace. We thank you that for those who neglect this great salvation, there is no escape. And we ask you that you would grip our souls with the reality of it. Deliver us in this hour from anything that would hinder or detract. We are aware that Satan ever seeks to snatch away the good seed sown in hearts. We thank you for the boys and girls that we were able to sow seed in hearts. And we pray that it may not be snatched away by the enemy, but rather that it will take root downward and bring forth fruit upward to thy honor and glory. We ask in a special way that our hearts will be open to this portion of thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd just like to take a moment to say that we have received a set of videotapes by Dr. Howard Hendricks, Dallas Seminary, on teaching, how to teach the word of God. I previewed the first one, and I can say that it is a masterpiece, and we're going to have the first one next Sunday night. If you're not in the habit of coming out on a Sunday night, you need to see these videotapes. There are 7 in the series by Dr. Howard Hendricks. I believe of all the men I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of good men, he has a method of communication that is remarkable. There's only one, Howard Hendricks. And he speaks to you with his hands. He speaks to you with his expressions. He speaks to you with the tone of his voice. And he's humorous to go along with it. And everything he says hits the nail on the head. I just about wept when I was finished with listening to him yesterday morning, all by myself. And how little I know about teaching. And yet I was so anxious to teach when he was finished. Now that was the reaction I got from the tape. So you're in for a feast for 7 Sunday nights. I won't say they'll be consecutive, but nevertheless, we'll have more to say about it next Sunday night. When we get down to business with the first of these. But keep it in mind. Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In the first chapter of the Hebrews, our Lord is presented to us as the eternal Son of God, far greater than anything or anyone previously known in Hebrew history. Whether angel, for the law was given at the disposition of angels. Angels were mediators in the giving of the law. We read in the book of Galatians. And they received the law at the disposition of angels. We read in Acts chapter 7, the close of Stephen's great sermon. Whether angels or man, Aaron, Moses, Joshua, or any of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament era, our Lord Jesus is far greater than all of them. Now the question is asked, since he has spoken, the thrust of chapter 1 of Hebrews is, God has spoken finally. God has spoken authoritatively in the person of his Son. Therefore, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The world's number one problem is not hunger. While that is a great problem, it is not number one problem. The world's greatest problem is not disease. It is not drunkenness. It is not AIDS. The greatest problem that the world faces is not the failure of the United Nations. It is the problem of Christ and his great salvation. This is the number one problem. The problem that was asked by Pilate, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, is the greatest problem that any person ever has to face. We want to look at this verse just the way it's written. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Number one, we want to look at this great salvation as a superb provision. A superb provision. When you think of the great salvation provided by our blessed Lord, we can say it is indeed a superb provision because of the testimony of angels. Luke chapter 2 verse 11, when he was born, the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And our Savior has provided salvation. Then think of the testimony of Simeon. Simeon was that old man who took the Lord Jesus in his arms when his parents presented him, according to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 29 and 30. And when he did, this is what he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here we find in the words of and testimony of Simeon that the salvation of God is centered in a person. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and the salvation of God is centered in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the testimony of John. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, what a testimony to this great salvation that is ours. Then think of the testimony of Peter as he spoke to the Sanhedrin, who told them not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But think of the testimony of Paul as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Lord, or Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here Paul tells us the purpose of why Christ came. He came to save sinners. And this saying, Paul said, is worthy of everybody to listen to. It's worthy of all acceptation. How shall we escape, friends, if we neglect so great salvation? But listen to the testimony of the Lord himself. In Luke chapter 19, after he was in the home of Zacchaeus, he said, for the Son of Man, verse 10 of Luke 19, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here we have our Lord specifically saying, I am the great Savior, and I seek the lost. In Luke chapter 15, our Lord told three parables of lost things. They're really three parables of found things, when you think it through. There is a lost coin, the lost silver. Then there was a lost sheep and the lost son. Not a lost silver, was unconsciously lost. It was dropped somewhere and the silver was lost. And you know that there are multitudes of people today, just like that silver. They are unconsciously lost. They think everything is all right, but they have never been gripped by the fact that they are lost in the presence of a holy God and they need the salvation of the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But then the sheep in Luke 15 was willfully lost. You see, the Bible likens us to sheep in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. The sheep was willfully lost. It had gone its own way. It had wandered from the shepherd. And what a picture of mankind in general. All we like sheep have gone astray. And then the lost son, the prodigal, was foolishly lost. He deliberately left the father's house. But oh, when you think of Luke 15, we think of a found coin. The woman found the coin. Just as the Savior has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we have a victorious Savior, friends. For when he seeks, he finds. The coin was lost, and the Savior found the coin. The sheep was lost, and the shepherd came with the sheep upon his shoulders. Do you ever think of that passage there in relation to Isaiah 9 concerning the government of the world? It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Just one. It only takes one shoulder for government, friends. It takes two for grace. Oh, when the shepherd found the sheep, he put him on his shoulders. Two shoulders for grace, beloved. He found a sheep that was willfully lost. And more than that, the son, who was foolishly lost, came home to the Father, and there was great rejoicing. Oh, this salvation is great. It's a superb provision. It is great because it's a great Savior who provided it. More than that, it's a great sacrifice. The one who purchased our salvation on the cross on Calvary's Hill, it was a great sacrifice. There was never anything like it in the whole of the universe of God. The angels desire to look into our great salvation. So we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, what a great sacrifice. But more than that, there's great simplicity. And that's how it's received. Oh, it isn't difficult to be saved. It's so simple. What must I do to be saved? The jailer cried out. Paul and Silas answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, man makes it hard to be saved. God made it easy. He says, believe the message concerning my son, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a great salvation, friends. It's a superb provision. There was never anything like it. But connected with this text is not only a superb provision, there is also a solemn probability. It's found in that word, neglect. What does that word neglect mean? That word neglect means to treat carelessly, to slight, or to make light of. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And we want to notice how this great salvation of God is made light of. And we see it here in the parable of the marriage feast. We're just going to read a few verses here, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Here we have neglect. Notice what is written. They made light of it. That's neglect. They went their ways. They went their ways for two things, food and raiment. Provision for the body for them meant more than provision for the soul. This was a problem of the rich farmer of Luke 12. After he had pulled down his barns and built larger barns and filled them, he then said, soul, take thine ease. The problem was, he had everything provided for his body, but he had nothing provided for his soul. And you and I are living in a humanistic society where every comfort is provided for the body. But have we made provision for the soul? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And then there are those who are definitely antagonistic in their neglect of the things of God, in their neglect of the fact that God has spoken. They took the servants of God and killed them. No time for the things of God. No interest in the things of God. How shall we escape is a question if we neglect so great salvation. Not only is it a superb provision, it's a great salvation. And not only is it a solemn probability, you may neglect it. But that brings us to the third part. There's a searching problem. A problem that you have to answer. How shall you escape? How shall you escape? And this brings us to the Christian's responsibility. God has spoken in his Son. We read that in Hebrews chapter 1. God not only had spoken in his Son, but previously he had spoken in time past by the prophets. He had spoken through various Hebrew servants. But now God has finally given revelation in the person of his Son. And what are we doing about it? The problem is, and it's a searching problem, how shall we escape? Cain, you remember, made light of approaching God by blood. Cain knew the approach to God. He knew it just as well as Abel did. But he decided, I'm going to come to God my way instead of God's way. And when God pronounced judgment upon Cain, according to Genesis chapter 4, verse 13, he cried out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. How shall we escape? How shall we escape? Cain cries out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Think of the people in the days of Noah. They made light of the ark, for Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Hebrews 11 says that he condemned the world by the very fact that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He condemned the world. They made light of Noah's preaching, for the word of God declares that he was a preacher of righteousness. And remember, Noah had brothers. Noah's brothers perished. Noah's sisters perished. They made light in that day of Noah and what he was doing. They perished. Think of Lot's wife. The Word of God tells us that we should remember her. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife is the only person of recorded history who was led out of the city of destruction by the hand of an angel. But look back, contrary to the mind of God, because her heart was back there in Sodom. And the judgment of God fell. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Think of Jezebel. Jezebel, the one who made light of the ministry of the prophet Elijah. She slew the servants of the Lord. She could sin with both hands. Yet her destruction came in a day, and the dogs ate her body before it ever hit the ground. You think about it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? When you get over to the 37th chapter of Isaiah, we have a general by the name of Rabshakeh in the army of Sennacherib of the Assyrians. Oh, how he made light of the godly man Hezekiah. How he made light of the things that God said are precious. And he perished with 185 others in one night. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Think of Belshazzar of Daniel chapter 5. Oh, he was having a great time. He was at the concert that night. He was having a great time. Have a sermon on Daniel 5 called 1,001 and a Drunk. For Belshazzar made a feast. And they drank wine and he drank among them. So there were 1,001 there. In the midst of their reveling, they commanded that the golden vessels that were taken out of the house of God in Jerusalem be brought out. And in defiance of the living God, he began to drink wine out of the vessels that were dedicated for the use in the worship of the Lord. And the handwriting came on the wall. And when he saw it, the man's hand and the handwriting on the wall, writing those words, Mene, Mene, Tikel, Upharsin. Daniel was called in and he finally told him what it meant. Daniel looked him in the eye and he said, Thou art weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. His knees were already shaking one against the other. And now he learns that he's weighed not in the balances of man. No matter how many can applaud. A lie told by a million people never makes it the truth. No matter how many people applaud, doesn't mean a thing to God. Belshazzar, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. What a searching problem. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To be weighed and to be found wanting. Isn't it wonderful this morning that we have the answer? We have the answer. This great salvation is presented in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this week, all week, there's been a verse that has been going through my mind and touching my heart. It's found in the 5th chapter of Galatians. It has to do with the death of God's dear Son. It says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. This speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, for that's the context. in Galatians chapter 5. That work of Christ is so great that they who receive it, in them, it's not only this great salvation, what Christ did for us on the cross, but it is also what he does in his people now as children of God. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Do you know that if there are 1,000 ways to commit murder, there are only 999 ways in which you can commit suicide? You can shoot somebody, and you can shoot yourself. You can hang somebody, and you can hang yourself. You can crucify somebody, but you cannot crucify yourself. Someone else has to do it. They that are Christ, this matter of coming to the cross of our Lord Jesus and receiving the work of his great salvation, receiving that great salvation by an act of faith, appropriating, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Does a work in us so that we can say in the words of Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Why? They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and its lusts. That brings me to one more thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's one thing for the sinner to neglect this great salvation, but the book of Hebrews is written to believers. That's written to believers. Am I neglecting this great salvation? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. I'm reminding myself of 2 Kings chapter 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7, there's a terrible famine in the land of Israel. They're reduced to cannibalism. And if you were to read the passage in chapter 6, what they were eating, we're not going to mention it, we're not even going to think about it. But there are 4 lepers who were sitting in the gate. 4 leprous men. And they said, now if we go into the city, we're going to die. Why don't we go to the camp of the Syrians? So they went into the camp of the Syrians. And you see, God had promised to Elisha the prophet, tomorrow there's going to be, you're going to have all the grain that you can eat at pre-famine prices. And you know the king, or the man on whom the king leaned, he said, why, if God made windows in heaven, that could never happen. But it did. You see, when God speaks, he means business. And these 4 lepers went into the camp of the Assyrians, and they got into the first tent. And it was empty. The Assyrians had left. And they thought something happened, that the other armies were employed against them, and they fled, and they left everything behind. Food, raiment, camels, and all kinds of animals, they were all there. Just, and that became the provision. But who knew about it? 4 men. 4 lepers who were outcasts. They had a cry, unclean, unclean, when anybody came near them. They looked at one another, and they said this, after they had gored themselves in one tent and then went to another. I've often tried to imagine how those hungry men ate when they saw all that food. I've often wondered what it was like. They looked at one another and they said, we do not well. Today is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Are you saved? Has God graciously moved into your life in salvation so that you can say, thanks be to God, my sins are forgiven? I know the Savior has a question for you this morning. How shall we escape? If we neglect, today is a day of good news. Today is the day for spreading abroad the message of the Savior. That's what the lepers said to one another. You see, the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh are so great that they can pin you down, that you have no time for the things of God. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. I am not joined to Jesus Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I am my brother's keeper. I have an obligation to my neighbors. I have an obligation. Not a sinner has to admit, how shall we escape? And we usually look at this text as toward the sinner, and most of my message was toward one who would be lost. But there's a message for us as believers. And that's the real thrust of Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 522, the first and the last. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, my friend, this is real. This is reality. And if you're here without Christ, we invite you to stay behind. Let us have a chat with you and look into the Word of God together so that you may believe.